Al-Kitaba, writing. And it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to have faith that Allah recorded everything in a book and that he kept with him, which is called Al-Lawh al-Mahfuz, the preserved tablet. This is now the general writing. This constitutes the general writing. Allah in it wrote everything, recorded in it everything. The second type of rank, or the second type of writing, is the writing concerning one's lifespan. The writing concerning one's lifespan. And it pertains to the fact that the fetus in the womb of his mother, if it completes 4 months, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends an angel to it. The angel is entrusted with the wombs and will command the angel to write his lifespan, his sustenance, his deeds, and whether he will be from the wicked or the happy ones, meaning in the hereafter. So this is the writing concerning al-umr, one's entire life. It is called al-umriya because it is linked to one's life, and it is written one time, and this is not repeated. This is written one time and it's not repeated. The third type of writing of kitaba is called al-kitaba al-hawliya, the yearly writing. And this takes place at the night of decree, Laylatul Qadr, at the night of decree. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ in Surah Al-Dukhan, verse 4. Surah Al-Dukhan, verse 4. فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ. Therein, in that night, the night of the decree, is decreed every matter of ordainments. And it will be made clear and detailed. Amrin Hakim, every matter. And all wise at the same time. And there is no command of Allah except that it is all wise. And some had mentioned also the daily writing, the daily kitabah. And they took as an evidence the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ar-Rahman, verse 29. Surah Ar-Rahman, verse 29. يَسْأَلُهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ يَسْأَلُهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ. However, the Shaykh rahimahullah stated that this verse is not a clear evidence concerning this conclusion. Now, Surah Ar-Rahman, this is Dukhan, yes. Whosoever is in the heavens and on earth begs of him, mean its needs from him. Every day he has a matter to bring forth. So they concluded that this is a daily writing. And the Shaykh considers the ayah not as clear in that direction, meaning to mean what they concluded. Now, هنا مسألة. Now there is a question, or a case, or an issue. هل الكتابة تتغير أو لا تتغير? Does the writing change or it doesn't? الجواب, the answer. يقول رب العالمين عز وجل, Allah, the Lord of all that exists, the most mighty and most magnificent, says in Surah Ar-Ra'd, which is Surah 13, verse 39, يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتْ وَعِنْدَهُ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. Allah blots out what He wills and confirms what He wills, and with Him is the mother of the book, Al-Lawh Al-Mahfuz. Meaning, Al-Lawh Al-Mahfuz, the mother of the book, ليس فيه محو ولا كتاب. There is no blotting nor writing, can you confirm me? يعني there is no changing of the record in that sense, and there is no blotting. فما كتب في اللوح المحفوظ, whatever is written, عليكم السلام ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته, whatever is written in the preserved tablet and the mother of the book, فهو كائن ولا تغيير فيه. Then it will take place and there is no change regarding it. لكن however ما كتب في الصحف في التي في أيدي الملائكة, however what is written in the records with the in the hands of the angels, فهذا in this regard or with respect to this one, يمحو الله ما يشاء ويثبت. Allah blots out what He wills and confirms what He wills. قال الله عز وجل, take for example the saying of Allah عز وجل in Surah Hud 11:114, إن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات. إن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات. Verily the good deeds remove the evil deeds. So there is blotting. And in this regard, the Shaykh rahimahullah also denies and cautions against the saying of those when they invoke Allah, they say, Allahumma inni la as'aluka radd al-qada'i walakin as'aluka al-lutfa fi. Listen to this incorrect invocation. They say, Allahumma, O Allah, inni la as'aluka radd al-qada'i. I don't ask you to ward off the pre-decree or the decree, walakin as'aluka, however I ask you to be courteous in it, to be kind in it. He said, فَهَذَا دُعَاءٌ بِدْعِيٌ بَاطِلٌ. This is an innovated and false dua. Because it means أَنَّهُ مُسْتَغْنٍ. It means that he is self-sufficient. Do you understand that now, alhamdulillah? You see the dua, it says, O Allah, I don't ask you to ward off the pre-decree. You understand? It seems that as if, what? He is مُسْتَغْنٍ, that he is self-sufficient. Are you following inshallah on this? You understand that, alhamdulillah? Okay. You understand the angle from which this dua is incorrect? And it's innovated. It is as if he's saying, افعل ما شئت, do whatever you want, O Allah, ولكن خفف, however, make it light. Subhanallah. This is wrong. فالإنسان man يسأل الله عز وجل رفع البلاء. A person asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ward off and lift off the trial and the calamity completely, and says, اللهم عافني, O Allah, اللهم عافني, اللهم ارزقني, O Allah, protect me, اللهم ارزقني, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me from your sustenance, and the like. And if the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said in the hadith, لا يقل, he forbade for us to say, لا يقل أحدكم اللهم اغفر لي إن شئت, let not any one of you, when he makes dua, say, اللهم, O Allah, forgive me if you wish. So, if the Prophet ﷺ prohibited for us to say that, then by all means, this dua of saying, لا أسألك رد القضاء, I don't ask you to ward off the decree, this is even worse. And it must be known that the dua may ward off the pre-decree. The dua may ward off the decree, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as in it came in the hadith, لا يرد القدر إلا الدعاء. nothing wards off the decree except dua. And we know many were those who were so poor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or rather they were poor themselves, so poor until they were at the brink of destruction. And if they invoke Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds. And how many also were those who were ill until they were almost despair, in a state of despair from this life, and then they invoke Allah and Allah responds to them. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Anbiya 21 verse 83, وَأَيُّوبَ إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. وأيوب إذ نادى ربه, Job, Ayyub, when he cried to his Lord, إني مسني الضر, verily distress has seized me, وأنت أرحم الراحمين, and you are the most merciful of all those who show mercy. So he mentioned his state of being in a distressed state, and he wants Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lift off this from him. قال الله, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ فَكَشَفْنَا مَا بِهِ مِنْ ضُرْ. Allahu Akbar. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ فَكَشَفْنَا مَا بِهِ مِنْ ضُرْ. And so we answered his call. Allahu Akbar. We answered his call and we removed the distress that was on him. The third rank. Al-Mashi'ah, will. The Mashi'ah, will. And it means to have faith that nothing, kul ka'in, existing or non-existing, everything, existing or non-existing, its existence or non-existence is related to Allah's will. Like for example, the rain, drought, plant produce, causing death, bringing life. And there is no problem with that. And this is the Mashi'ah of Allah Azza wa Jalla fi'lihi. This pertains to the will of Allah concerning His action as well as from the action of the creature. It is also by the permission of Allah, it took place by the will of Allah. And the evidence for this is in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Takwir 28 and 29 of Surah Al-Takwir, لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَسْتَقِيمْ وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And to whomsoever among you who wills to walk straight, and you will. So Allah therefore here affirms that we have a will, and then he says, and you will not unless it be that Allah's will. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:253, Allah Azza wa Jal, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَتَلَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَلَكِنْ اخْتَلَفُوا فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ آمَنَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَفَرَ. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَتَلُوا. If Allah had willed, succeeding generations would not have fought against each other after clear verses of Allah had come to them, but they differed. Some of them delivered, or some of them believed and others disbelieved. And here, if Allah had willed, they would not have fought against one another, but Allah does what He likes. So the action of the slave is by Allah's will. And now there comes a problem, an issue. If the action of the slave is by Allah's will, then this would mean that man is compelled to do his action. Because whatsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, will take place. and whatever he doesn't will not take place. So this belief will lead to the deviant belief of the Jabriya sect. Jabriya comes from Jabr, from compulsion, being compelled. And it is the creed of the Jahmites as well. And these Jahmites, Jahmiya, the other are different, the Qadariya. Those deny the Qadar. The Jahmiya, their Imam of deviation is Al-Jahm bin Safwan, alaykum as-salam. And the Jahmiya, they have three, look at this, alaykum as-salam. They have three corrupt jeems. Jeems, a plural of jeem, letter, of the letter jeem in Arabic, from the alphabet. Jahmiya, they have three corrupt jeems. The first, Al-Jahm himself. And this pertains to the attributes of Allah, where Al-Jahm bin Safwan denied the attributes of Allah. The second is, so the first one, the first jeem, look, I will write it back in capital letters, is Jahm. And I underline it, alright? No. Okay. Jahm. This is the first jeem, right? That bit of Al-Jahm. First jeem. You understand? This is the first of the letter, Jahm. This is the first jeem. The second jeem is that of Al-Jabr. Now. And Al-Jabr, meaning to be compelled. And this pertains to the decree of Allah. And the third is, the third jeem, irja', jeem of irja'. And this relates to al-iman, to faith. And the irja', this is a corrupt creed, and it has different levels, and from them is those who consider that actions are not from, don't fall under the iman. So if a person does not do righteous deeds, then they consider his iman is still perfect or complete. So you have now three corrupt genes. The first corrupt and false jeem is that of Al-Jahm, the second of Al-Jabr, meaning man is compelled, and the third is Irja', and the Irja', as you see, what has faith got to do with this? Naam. Yes. Alright, let me explain this, inshallah. Let's take the first one, sister. Okay. Let's take the first Jahm. Okay, Jahm. What is Jahm here? This is the name of a person. Al-Jahm bin Safwan. He was the establisher almost of many of these deviant sects. From his creed sprouted. Oh. Okay. Let's take, for example, now, sister, the first case, all right, what this has to do with iman. Al-Jahm bin Safwan, okay? This is the first who spoke in rejecting the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know from the faith is to believe in Allah and to believe in His names and attributes. So this person, Al-Jahm bin Safwan, denied the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing is, these people who since we are talking about the Mashiach, the will of Allah, the other corrupt creed is those Al-Jabriyyah, who say that man is compelled to do his deeds. So again, this is a corrupt creed. And the third one is this sect of which is called Irja. And Irja means that the actions, the deeds, do not fall under the name of Iman. So if a person does whatever he does from sins, then he is considered to them, to this sect, complete believer. Is not considered a disobedient believer. So these are three, and this is a point of benefit, yani it's not something unrelated. We continue then, we're talking about the Mashiach, the will. So if someone says, if everything falls under the, okay, forget about it, Sabrina. Let's continue now, inshallah. After the class, I will explain more, inshallah. If someone says, if everything occurs by the will of Allah, and it is written also by Allah in the record, then we are compelled concerning our actions. We have no choice. And this is a saying, the false of it, the falsehood of it is really very clear. Because if man is compelled and he does an action, then he is punished for it. If this is to occur from any of us, people will yell at him. I mean, people will consider this to be unacceptable if this is occurring from the creature. فَكَيْفَ بِالْخَالِقِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. Then how about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator? And therefore this is one of the worst of false sayings, to say that man is compelled. This by itself will make clear to us the falsehood concerning the question which is often raised by people: is man destined or does he have a choice? If someone who asks himself this question, if someone asks this question, he should ask himself the following question: did anyone compel him to ask this question? We know that man, if he comes from his house to the mosque, does he feel that anyone compelled him to do so? No. And if I am late by my choice, I don't feel that anyone compelled me. So there is no doubt, man is mukhayyar la shak, has a choice, no doubt. However, whatever man does, we know that it is forewritten. We know that it is forewritten. And that's why we take this forewriting, we take it as evidence when we speak about our deeds when they take place. الإنسان مخير لا شك. Man has a choice, there is no doubt. However, whatever man does, we know that it is forewritten. Forewritten. And that's why we say concerning our actions that Allah created them and Allah willed them and wrote them. However, before they take place, we don't know of them. Before they take place, we don't know of them. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Luqman, verse 34, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. Surah Luqman, verse 34. Yes, verse 34. 3-4. So, قبل الوقوع لا ندري. Before it takes place, we don't know of what is written for us, what Allah willed for us, what Allah created for us concerning this action. We have no knowledge whatsoever. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا. Verily Allah, with Him all is the knowledge of the hour. He sends down the rain and knows that which is in the wombs. No person knows what he will earn tomorrow. And no person knows in what land he will die. So if this is the case with respect to the will of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يشاء كل شيء, He wills everything. However, He does not compel His slaves. العباد مختارون فلا ظلم. The slaves have a choice and there is no injustice. Thus, and that's why if a person does something من غير اختيار, without choosing, then he is not held accountable. If he was ignorant or compelled or forgot, then فإنه يرفع عنه الإثم لأنه لم يختره. Then there is no sin upon him because he didn't choose. He didn't choose in the case when he was jahil, ignorant, or when he was forced to do something, or when he forgot it. And that's why when the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا وَقَدْ كُتِبَ مَقْعَدُهُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَقْعَدُهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. None of you except that his place in paradise and his place in the fire of hell has been written. They said, قالوا يا رسول الله أفلا ندع العمل ونتكل على ما كتب. O Messenger of Allah, shouldn't we then relinquish the actions and deeds and then depend upon that which is kutib, written, already written? He said, قال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم, لا, no, اعملوا, but rather do, act. فكل ميسر لما خلق له. For everyone will have that made easy for him, or he will have that easy which he was created for, or that which he was created for will be made easy for him. أما أهل السعادة اللهم اجعلنا منهم. And for those people of happiness, فييسرون لعمل أهل السعادة, then they will have that made, the actions that pertains to happiness will be made easy for them. وَأَمَّا أَهْلُ الشَّقَاوَةِ فَيُوَسَّرُونَ لِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الشَّقَاوَةِ. And for those of, عليكم السلام, of wickedness, then they will be, their actions will be made easy for them. meaning to do the actions of the people of wickedness. Then he, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, recited the following verses as evidence from the Quran. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. In Surah Al-Layl, verses 5-10. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى. نعم. As for him who gives, but this is the point of evidence, Brother Prince, here, because the Prophet ﷺ recited this as evidence. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى. As for him, he gives in charity and keeps his duty to Allah and fears him and believes in al-husna. And this husna has been explained to me in the Tawheed. We will make smooth for him the path of ease. Look at this. But he who is greedy, miser, and thinks himself self-sufficient and gives lie to al-husna, we will make smooth for him the path for evil. The path of evil will be made easy for him. So let's take it this way. Now look at it this way. Ar-rizq, sustenance. Is it written or not for each individual? Is it written or not? Yes. It is, or is it intended by Allah or not? Is it intended by Allah or not? طيب. Despite of this, isn't it true that man seeks sustenance or not? Isn't it true that man sees sustenance or not? Yes, exactly. طيب. Also, a child, it is written that he will be born for a man. Right or wrong? Isn't it? It's written that such and such will have a child. It is intended by Allah, isn't it? Allah willed that, isn't it? Wanted it, yes? Okay, great. Yet we know that man seeks to have children by means of marriage. And he doesn't say, I will sleep on the bed, on the couch. And if Allah had willed a child for me, then it will come. And if anyone would say this, he will be called what? He will be called what? I want you to tell me what he will be called. What people will call him? Yeah, what people will call him? If he lays on the bed or on the couch and he says, Allah had preordained a child for me and it is inevitable, it will come. If someone would say this, what would you think people would say him? Would say to him? What people will consider him? Crazy. Insane. Majnoon. That's right. And similarly, and this is the point of evidence, and similarly, al-amalu salih. And similarly, al-amalu salih. And similarly, the righteous deeds. Do righteous deeds so that you enter paradise. And there is none to prevent you from obedience, and there is none to compel you to do the sin. Is that clear now? Is that clear, alhamdulillah? And we needed the people before to be patient a little bit, so they can, inshallah, but it's okay. طيب على كل حال. The mushriks They use the pre-decree as an excuse for their shirk. As Allah spoke about them in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 148. سَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا أَشْرَكْنَا وَلَا آبَاؤُنَا وَلَا حَرَّمْنَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ. You see that? Please don't put the entire verse. Just at the till and وَلَا حَرَّمْنَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ and nothing we had يعني forbade or declared haram till that point. سَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. Yes, they used it as a pretext. You see, they took the pre-decree, they took the qadr as a pretext for their shirk, and they said, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala spoke about them. سَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا, the people who committed shirk will say, لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا أَشْرَكْنَا, had it not been for Allah, we didn't make shirk. وَلَا آبَاؤُنَا, okay, and we would not have forbidden anything. Look at this. Look at this. Read this carefully. We will meet now. We will wait about 1 minute. I will give 1 minute, read the verse. Those who took partners in worship of Allah will say, look, and now they're going to use the, okay, no problem. طيب, inshallah. Look at this here. Those who took partners in worship of Allah will say, if Allah had willed, you see the point? So they are using the pre-decree as what? As a text, as a pretext. We would not have taken partners in worship with Allah, nor would our fathers, and we would not have forbidden everything. They are taking it as an excuse, laying it on the decree of Allah. Look how the response of Allah came. Let's have the response now. كَذَلِكَ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ عَيْكُمُ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ. كَذَلِكَ, look at this, please read it, read it. Likewise belied those who were before them. They argued falsely with Allah's Messenger there, till they tested of our wrath. Look at the response now. Have you any knowledge proof that you can produce? نعم. كَذَلِكَ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ حَتَّى ذَاقُوا بَأْسَنَا. قل هل عندكم من علم. Have you any knowledge proof that you can produce before us? Verily you follow nothing but guess and you do nothing but lie. So their excuse, was it accepted? It wasn't, because Allah considered this to be a lie. They belied and inflicted a punishment on them for that as well. حَتَّى ذَاقُوا بَأْسَنَا, until they tasted of our wrath. This tells you here, they don't have knowledge. So how come they say that this is Allah willed it? Who told them that Allah willed this? Who told them that Allah, they have knowledge of Allah's knowledge, of His foreknowledge, to lay it on the qadr, on the pre-decree, as a pretext? Now, if someone now comes and says, well, we have a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam permitted to use al-qadr as, you know, evidence or a pretext. Is that right? Well, let's take this hadith and see if it is really what you have heard. Adam and Musa. Prophet Adam and Musa. So those who blame everything on al-Qadr try to justify their position by referring to an authentic hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ described an argument between Adam and Musa alayhimu salam that took place in front of Allah, and in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, our Prophet ﷺ said, ihtajja Adam Musa. Adam and Moses argued with each other. فقال له موسى. موسى said to Adam, يا آدم أنت أبونا. You are our father Adam. خيبتنا وأخرجتنا من الجنة. You disappointed us and you caused us to get out of paradise. قال له آدم. آدم responded to موسى. يا موسى. O موسى. اصطفاك الله بكلامه. Allah has chosen you for direct talk with you. وخط لك بيده. وخط لك بيده. And wrote the Torah with his own hand. أتلومني على أمر قدر الله علي قبل أن يخلقني بأربعين سنة. Do you blame me for action which Allah had ordained for me 40 years before He created me? فَحَجَّ آدَمُ مُوسَى. Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم said, فَحَجَّ آدَمُ مُوسَى. So Adam confuted Moses. Adam confuted Moses. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم repeated this thrice, three times. Repeating the same statement three times. So Adam overcome Musa with this argument. So how can we understand now the saying of Adam, you blame me for something, you know, when he told him, for an action which Allah had ordained for me 40 years before he created me. This is a text, alaykum salam, which the people who use al-qadr as a pretext for doing sins, they take this hadith as their evidence. Now you know the mushkil? Now, alaykum salam. Now do you know the mushkil now? Okay, you know the problem now? So how can we understand this hadith? And this hadith is in al-sahihain, in Bukhari and in Muslim. Now you see the issue, Prince? You see the point? Okay. MashaAllah. طيب. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah answered, as well as his student ibn al-Qayyim also answered with another answer. Let's take their answers. Shaykh al-Islam's answer. He said, إن آدم عليه السلام عليه الصلاة والسلام فعل الذنب. Indeed, Adam committed the sin. وصار ذنبه سببا لخروجه من الجنة. And his sin was a cause for his dispelling from paradise. لكنه تاب من الذنب. However, he repented from the sin. وبعد توبته, and after his repentance, اجتباه الله, Allah chose him, وتاب عليه, and forgave him, وهداه, and guided him. والتائب من الذنب كمن لا ذنب له, and the one who repents from a sin is like the one who did not have a sin. ومن المحال, and it's impossible, أن موسى عليه السلام, that موسى عليه السلام أحد أولي العزم من الرسل, one of those messengers who are firm in deen. محال, it's impossible that he يلوم أباه, he blames his father Adam على شيء, on something تاب منه, which he repented from. ثم اشتباه الله, and Allah chose him after that and also forgave him and guided him. And it's impossible for Musa to blame him for that. وَإِنَّمَا اللَّوْمُ. Here is the point of evidence for Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah. وَإِنَّمَا اللَّوْمُ. However, the blame is عَلَى الْمُصِيبَةِ, on the calamity التي حصلت بفعله, which took place as a consequence of his action. Is this clear? Is this clear? MashaAllah. MashaAllah. Anyone needs a clarification, it will come anyway. But so, al-lawm, the blaming is not for the sin. Because he, Adam, repented from the sin. And Allah chose him after that and forgave him and guided him. إِنَّمَا اللَّوْمُ عَلَى الْمُصِيبَةِ. However, the blame is on the calamity which took place as a consequence, as a result of his action. And what is this calamity? إِخْرَاجُ النَّاسِ وَنَفْسَهُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. Dispelling people and himself from paradise. Because this occurred due to the sin of Adam. However, look at this important point now where Shaykh al-Islam is saying. Look at this very important point. He said, however, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, la shakka, there is no doubt that Adam, la shakka, there is no doubt, annahu lam yaf'al hadha liyakhruj min al-jannati hatta yulam. He didn't do this so that he will be expelled from Jannah and thus to be blamed. So how come فَكَيْفَ يَلُومُهُ مُوسَى. So how come Musa blame him for that? It can't be. It's impossible. Impossible that Musa blames him for something which he never intended in the first place, Adam. You see this another important point? You see this another important point? Now, so this is now an apparent matter in that Musa alayhi salam لم يرد لوم آدم على فعل المعصية. They didn't intend to blame Adam for committing the sin. إنما rather on the calamity, and which is from the qadar of Allah. That the calamity is from the pre-decree of Allah. And وحين إذن, and thus thereupon يتبين أنه, it becomes clear, لا حجة في الحديث. There is no evidence for to use this hadith for those who take it as an excuse to commit sins. So, he was referring to the calamity, and that is the expelling from the Jannah. And that's why he told him in the hadith, if you go to the hadith, قَالَ أَخْرَجْتَنَا وَنَفْسَكَ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. You expelled us and yourself from paradise. And he didn't say to him, look at this, he didn't say to him, وَلَمْ يَقُلْ عَصَيْتَ رَبَّكَ. He didn't say that you disobeyed your Lord. So the wording of Musa with his father Adam is concerning the calamity which took place as a result. Although the reason was the action of Adam. And he, Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah, said, اللوم على المصائب. اللوم على المصائب. You can blame the calamity. وعلى المعائب إن استمر الإنسان فيها. If a person continues indulging in them, this is the thing which is to be blamed. But Adam didn't. Adam repented. He didn't continue. This is the answer of Shaykh al-Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah, and the answer of Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah. He answered from another angle. He said, blaming the committance of the sin after repentance from it is wrong. And for a man to use the qadr after the tawbah, to use it after the tawbah as a pretext, is correct. I will repeat. احتجاج الإنسان بالقدر using the pre-decree as a pretext, after the tawbah, after the repentance from the sin is correct. For example, فَلَوْ أَنَّ إِنسَانًا شَرِبَ الْخَمْرِ, if a person drinks wine, drinks alcoholic beverages, فَجَعَلْتَ تَلُومُهُ, and you started blaming him, yet he repented, sincere repentance, and he responded to you by saying, هَذَا أَمْرٌ مُقَدَّرٌ عَلَيْهِ وَإِلَّا لَسْتُ مِنْ أَهْلِي شُرْبِ الْخَمْرِ, this is a matter pre-decreed upon me, and I am not a man from the people who are alcoholics. وَتَجِدُ عِنْدَهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ وَالنَّدَمِ عَلَى الْمَعْصِيَةِ, and you find him also regretting falling in this sin. Ibn al-Qayyim saying in this respect, this is okay for him to say that. لا بأس به. However, الاحتجاج بالقدر الممنوع, the prohibited form of using the pre-qadr as a text, a pretext, is to use it to continue on the evil, on the wrong, as the mushriks did. However, if a man يحتج بالقدر لدفع اللوم عنه, if a man uses the decree in order to repel being blamed, especially after the blame has been lifted by his tawbah, then it's okay. Ibn Qayyim says it's okay. And this answer is clear answer, although the wording of Shaykh al-Islam are more proper and correct. However, it is not harmful, and it's not really prevented to use the answer of Imam Ibn Taymiyyah as well. Rather, Ibn Qayyim as well. The answer of Ibn Qayyim. So the Shaykh rahimahullah is saying that the wording of Shaykh al-Islam, his response, is more correct. And Ibn Qayyim gave further explanation, he said, the like of which is in the situation which took place with Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet ﷺ, and Ali, her husband, radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with both of them. In one night, the Prophet ﷺ came at one night, and he found them both asleep. So he said, أَفَلَا تُصَلِّيَانِ, أَفَلَا تُصَلِّيَانْ, wouldn't you pray, أَلَا تُصَلِّيَانْ, فَكَأَنَّهُ عَابَ عَلَيْهِمَا, as if he was blaming them, أي لماذا لم تقوما لصلاة التهجد, Fatima and her husband Ali, may Allah be pleased with both of them, the Prophet ﷺ came at one night and he found them both asleep, and he said, wouldn't you pray, as if he's telling them, why don't you stand up and make Salat al-Tahajjud, night prayer. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu responded by saying, look at the response of Ali, Ya Rasulallah, O Messenger of Allah, Inna anfusana, our souls, biyadillahi azza wa jal, are in the hands of Allah azza wa jal, فَإِذَا شَاءَ يَبْعَثَنَا بَعَثَنَا, if he wills, and if he would have willed, he would have, awakened us for the prayer. فخرج النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام, the Prophet ﷺ came out, left them, striking on his thigh and reciting the verse, وكان الإنسان أكثر شيء جدلا. السلام. وكان الإنسان أكثر شيء جدلا, in سورة الكهف. This will be الكهف 54. No. Why? Because, okay, so the Prophet ﷺ said, he recited the verse 18, yes. And indeed we have put forth mankind an example in the Quran for mankind. But man is ever more quarrelsome than everything. Why? Because Ali radiallahu anhu دافع عن نفسه يعني repelled, warded off from himself بأمر انتهى وانقضى, بأمر انتهى وانقضى, by referring to this after it is now, it's over. After it's over. You see, after it's over. And this is what Ibn al-Qayyim is saying. نعم طيب. Now if a person commits sin and we want to establish upon him the legal punishment, and he responded by saying, أنا مكتوب علي هذا, this is written, it's for written for me that I will do this on such and such day and so forth. And let's assume that he committed zina, and we said, and we said, اجلدوه مئة جلدة, whip him 100 lashes and expel him 1 year from his hometown. And then he said, hold it, هذا شيء مكتوب علي, this is for written for me. أتنكرون هذا, do you deny that? We will say, no, we don't deny that it was, it is for written. Then he would say, there is no blame on me. Then we will say, and we will whip you, and we will tell you, this is also for written upon us. You see the point? So this can invalidate his excuse. Is that clear? Okay. And it is mentioned that a thief was reported to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was brought and he was caught stealing, and he commanded Umar that his hand be cut off. So he said, مَهْلًا يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, wait, O leader of the believers. وَاللَّهِ مَا سَرَقْتُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرِ اللَّهِ, yani I only stole because this was the pre-decree of Allah. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu told him, إِنَّنَا نَقْطَعُ يَدَهُ بِقَدَرِ اللَّهِ وَشَرْعِ اللَّهِ, we will cut his hand in accordance with the decree of Allah and the شَرْعِ اللَّهِ, the laws of Allah. So this one committed the thief or the theft بقدر الله, in accordance with the pre-decree of Allah, meaning it was written and so forth, and it took place because Allah willed it. However, he, this person, لم يسرق بشرع الله, did not steal because, you know, did not steal as if this was the law of Allah permitted for him to do so. And so also we will cut his hand in بِقَدَرِ اللَّهِ, by the pre-decree of Allah and by the law of Allah. However, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not mention the issue of the shara' of the law in his response. In order to respond to this person with the like of his argument, so that Umar can nullify his argument not to use the qadr, the pre-decree, as a text to commit sins. And therefore now it becomes evident that using the pre-decree as a pretext to perform sin or to conduct sin is false. Also, to take the pre-decree as a, the decree of Allah as a pretext, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh, on things which failed and passed without attainment is also false. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. And that's why we see those people who rush to win certain jobs by their own choice, and they wouldn't like that they fail in attaining these jobs, this by itself is evidence, a clear evidence that man has a will and has a choice. Because if a man relaxes or laxes and doesn't go and apply for these jobs, people will blame him. And from all of this now we know the futility of taking the qadr, the decree of Allah, as pretext to commit sins. And we tell those people the following. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We tell them, you claim now that Allah had wrote upon you such and such sin which you committed by the same talking. Why don't you say that Allah wrote for you such and such act of obedience and you obeyed? We tell him this because لِأَنَّ الْقَدَرَ سِرٌّ مَكْتُومٌ لَا يَعْلَمُهُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Because the qadr, the decree, is a sealed secret known to us except Allah. And we don't know what Allah preordained except after it takes place. So if you come to commit the sin, we tell you, why didn't you come to commit the act of obedience and come and say then this was a pre-decree of Allah? Why you only rest on the disobedience and you take it as your proof, whereby the same talking we can say to you, come on and do the act of obedience and stick to the same argument. So this proves you the futility of your argument in the first place. And the matter is, alhamdulillah, clear. And had it not been for what had arose concerning the issue of pre-decree, then there would have been no need to conduct this matter or to explain it. Because the matter, alhamdulillah, is really very clear. And that there is no evidence for anyone to use the qadr, the decree, as evidence for committing sin and abandoning the duties. We can stop here, inshallah. There remains the fourth rank, and this rank is the creation, al-khalq. The fourth rank of al-qadr is al-khalq, which means everything. Allah created all creation. And we have to explain this, inshallah, next time. The points of benefit regarding this point. Walhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And I hope now these ranks so far, the three ranks, the ranks of knowledge, the rank of will, and the rank of the writing, are clear to you, inshallah ta'ala.